Hi, everybody. The Complex PTSD Guy here. I'll start out by saying I'm not a doctor or psychiatrist. I'm just a guy living with complex PTSD, and I'm sharing my own ideas, experiences, and opinions on this podcast. I wanted to talk a little bit about something that I don't even know if there's a word for it. I think it would be something I would have to maybe research or figure out. Eventually, I'll find a word for it, but I think it's a little bit different than karma. I think karma isn't quite the word for what I'm looking for. So I've spoken to you guys before about something that I refer to as the event. And that was just a very big situation that happened. And I'm trying to think if maybe that in itself is the proper word for what I'm trying to find, the event. So whenever that happened in my life, it was years and years worth of accumulating things that led to that really bad thing happening. And it wasn't something that happened to me. It was something that happened to somebody else who I've known my whole life, and the reactions of others towards that thing that happened. And that affected me in turn. But it wasn't something that happened to me. It was, I guess you could say, the event in somebody else's life. And it was a bad thing that happened. But there were a lot of things that led to that. And I don't know if this is, you know, the right word for it. Am I creating a term here, the event? You know, and I think it's different from karma. So, like, I'll give an example. If there's something that you are doing, and let's say you're gambling, and you gamble and you gamble and you gamble, and eventually it leads to a breaking point. Maybe breaking point is a good term for it, but again, could we call that eventual manifestation, or the eventual everything that leads up to the breaking point? I would also call that maybe the event. The breaking point is the event. It's when that something big happens. So, you know, maybe breaking point is the word for it. Maybe it would depend on the scenario. But I think when it comes to our own behavior, so I would say gambling falls into something that I would say is outside the tent. I've used that term a little bit, where I think there are certain things that are regarding ourselves, or certain things that are within the tent. So there's things that are specific to you. I would say having a gambling problem is outside the tent, because it's something that we're just engaging with. You know, what's going on under the tent that led to that is what really matters. So in regards to, you know, a lead up to something, I'm talking more about our behavior. Whereas gambling could hit all kinds of people for all kinds of different things. But our behavior is really what I'm getting at here. So, you know, a breaking point of our behavior. And if you're living with complex PTSD and your behavior has a lot to do with your symptoms, I think there are certain things that can be specific to us. So I just talked about in the last episode, the whole misanthrope concept with myself, which basically is isolating and being sick of things. And I have gotten better with all of that over, you know, the last few years that I've struggled with that. I'm better now than I have been in a long time, but I go up and down. Sometimes it's really bad and sometimes it's better. So who knows, you know, where I'll be a year from now. But in regards to the behavior that can lead up to a breaking point, I wanted to share that I think in regards to relationships, this can be a big thing for people with complex PTSD. So I think, you know, sometimes when we're younger, we can be very hopeful and naive and in good ways, hopeful and naive in a good way. You know, very optimistic in regards to relationships, and I would also say can get into relationships much more easily, like very butterflies in the stomach type thing, or whatever you call it, butterflies in your heart, or I don't know what the word is, but having butterflies, you know, and I think a lot of that when you're younger, that can happen more, especially in your 20s. But as you get older, I would say, for some of us, this definitely isn't everybody who has complex PTSD. And I'd say this is probably a minority of people with complex PTSD. And I'm using myself as an example here. I think I am in the minority when it comes to this. But I think that there's ways that maybe we approach half relationships. So if we're truly kind of scared of a full-blown relationship, we develop ways of finding half relationships, which is non-commitment relationships. So if this is you too, the way that this can look is, you know, having like a friend with benefits, or having an in and out person, like somebody who comes into your life and then they go back out. And I would say that that's different from a friend with benefit. A friend with benefit would be more an actual friend that everybody knows that you guys hang out. Whereas the in and out person could be somebody that nobody knows that you have a relationship with, like nobody except that person. That would be like an in and out is what I would call that. You definitely have a connection, but it's fleeting and it's impulsive. Now I want to talk about the behaviors related to this, because I do think over time, you know, they might not be immediate, but I think over time it can be kind of like what I talked about in regards to that novel, the novel cure, where it recommended novels for your ailments. And in regards to the ailments of fear of confrontation, and the ailment of waiting for somebody, and the ailment of yearning, and the ailment of, I would say irritability can fall into this, and procrastination. And I think also, if you ever find yourself whining or griping about someone who's a friend with benefit, or somebody who comes in and goes out, if you ever find yourself desiring more, I would say that that can be a clue that this isn't the best approach. But I can understand why you're doing it, because I think in regards to complex PTSD and the symptoms of it, particularly interpersonal dialogue problems, and struggling with relationships is one of the main things that we struggle with, which really sucks, by the way. It really sucks. And that can go with colleagues or dating or marriage, whatever, your kids, you know, that struggle with the dialogue. And again, a lot of that goes back to, I think, fear of confrontation and procrastination, which in the long run, those lead up to crisis, and they lead up to things bubbling up when you avoid and you avoid and you avoid and you avoid. It leads to bubbling up. Just like that novel cure book said, it said that that's what happens, and it's right. And it gave novels as examples, like actual books to read. And a lot of that, like I said, The fear of confrontation, I think, comes from prejudging what other people's responses will be. So it comes from being judgmental. And that is connected to low self-esteem, which, again, I think when you have trauma and abuse, it's a bigger part than we realize. And when you think about it, if you're settling in a way or becoming completely comfortable with a friend with benefit, or an in and out person, somebody that comes into your life and impulsively out. And, you know, it could be every week, but it's impulsive and it's, you know, it feels good in the moment because there's nothing to deal with. There's no responsibility to it whatsoever. There's no commitment and there's no real consistency except for the fact that it's inconsistent. It's consistently inconsistent, right? So, you know, I think that in the long run, it can lead, like I said, to crisis and things bubbling up. And this is where I think with complex PTSD as well, we aren't thinking long term because we aren't seeing the crisis before us. We aren't seeing, you know, that might be 5 years down the road or 2 months down the road. We're not thinking about that. We're living according to our trauma. And it's something I'm doing. And I try sometimes to think about it differently. And I know that it affects me a lot more than I even realize. Because I can be very oblivious to how my behavior is affecting me. Not how it's affecting other people, but how it's affecting me. I can be very oblivious to the fact that maybe I'm way more depressed than I realize. Because if I feel depressed, I might be way more depressed than what I actually realize I am. You know, and what things are actually bringing me joy? Are they fleeting moments of impulsivity? You know, that feel like something, you know? I think that this can be something that can be a, you know, these are behaviors that I think can lead up to a breaking point, or they're behaviors that I think can lead up to an event, the event. And I would say in regards to some things, that's what happened to me in October, not regarding relationships, but regarding the whole misanthrope thing, the isolating, things like that. You know, that led up to my own little event, which is leading up to other things tomorrow, which is, it'll be tomorrow in half an hour. But, you know, in regards to the relationship stuff, you know, it's all connected, because if you're being a misanthrope, if you are isolating, it makes sense that, you know, that's how I engage with people intimately. It's either a friend with benefit or it's a in and out type of person. Or it's multiple in and out type of people, which, you know, that was what I did for a while, but it's really just one person now. One person I like a lot, but, you know, I'm not holding out. I'm trying not to hold out any hope for anything, because that would be waiting, and that's not what I'm doing. So I'm not doing that. I'm not doing the waiting aspect, you know. And if something else comes along, I'm the type of person, I think, when you have complex PTSD, this might be something you deal with too. You might be the type of person who has to be pulled out of something. Like, and a lot of times it can be either your best friend or your sibling that will do this for you. So in regards to my situation, I've had this happen before, and it has been a sibling that will do it. They will see that the way you're operating is not working for you, and they will literally yank you out of it. Like, they will pull you out of it, whether you want to be pulled out or not. And they're just going to tell you what you need to hear because they care about you. You know, otherwise you can definitely just keep walking through things very oblivious to how it's affecting you until somebody like that tells you, or, you know, they point it out. And if you're good at hiding it, like I am, sometimes that can be a downfall too, by the way. I'm really good at hiding things. Like, I'm like an actor. Like, I've had a lot of people tell me that. They're like, you are really good at pretending like nothing is wrong. And maybe I think that might be like a little bit of a feature of people with complex PTSD, because if you grow up in trauma, I think you learn to hide it, especially if it's long-term trauma, because if you expose it, you get in trouble, right? Like if we just walk around and say, so-and-so hits me, or so-and-so is doing this to me, it would have gotten you in trouble by that person if it's long-term trauma, right? Because usually that's someone you're living with when you're a kid. So a lot of times that's what long-term trauma is. It starts at childhood, and if it's long-term, that means it's going on and on. So it's usually a parent, or it's maybe a coach, or it's somebody long-term in your life that you know for a long time. A teacher, a neighbor, a pastor, I don't know. But if you expose it, you know, you get in trouble, so you don't expose it. So you become a little actor, right? You hide it. So I think that might be where that can come from. But again, I just wanted to kind of touch on a little bit of, I think there's certain behaviors that we can engage in, and it all makes sense because I think it all goes back to the trauma and our symptoms. So if you look at the symptoms, especially, so I'm specifically talking about relationships here. I think that that can be something we do. But again, it's that buildup that can lead to a crisis or the bubbling up, you know, not thinking long term. And that's where that book came in so helpful, that book, The Novel Cure. It came in helpful just to read about it. And they were so spot on in that book. I can't believe it. But, you know, it's so much things that are so important, I think, for solutions for this are realizing that a lot of us do struggle with low self-esteem, and we need confidence builders. We need to like boost our own confidence. And if you start noticing when you are engaging in an activity that comes from low self-esteem, or if you notice you're beating yourself up, let's just start there. Anytime you're beating yourself up or you're griping about life, I would say just notice that you're doing it and think the opposite. So rather than think you're so stupid, just think something like, I'm so smart because I'm noticing the situation where I might normally call myself stupid. Right? So rather than saying I'm so stupid, say I'm so smart because I just noticed a situation where I might normally think I'm stupid. Like I might normally beat myself up, but I'm noticing it, so I'm smart. You know, like just think the opposite. Or if you're griping, like I hate this, or you know, everything's out to get me. Like I said, just think the world is out to teach me something right now. Or what beautiful thing can I notice right now? You know, because griping, I think, is very impulsive. And I think impulsivity, that definitely falls in line with some of the symptoms of complex PTSD. That immediately wanting to run from things, that's impulsive, right? So it's very important to slow down. So for example, I had a text, and I'm going to go off subject a little bit, but I had a text message from somebody I didn't know, and somebody had given them my phone number just the other day, like yesterday, and they wanted to meet me, and my impulsive brain wanted to ask like a million questions, and I actually put off texting them back for a full day, because I knew that if I were to text them right away, like I normally do, it would be all this impulsive stuff. And then I would immediately think, why did I ask them that? Why did I say that? Why did I say that? Oh, I shouldn't have agreed to see them so quickly. You know, I knew that I would have beaten myself up for what I texted back to them, because it would have been in the moment impulsive. So I waited a whole day and I thought about, okay, be specific with what you text back and don't jump into anything, because I knew I would have. So there's an example. There's an example where I can say I'm so smart because I didn't engage in something where I would have just beat myself up, Because normally I would have done it. I would have just jumped into something and then felt really stupid about it. So I guess that's an example. The importance of taking your time, of slowing down and not jumping into things. Very important. The same for if you're thinking hard on yourself. Immediately just take a pause, take a breath, and just think, here's a situation where I would normally beat myself up or be really critical of myself, and I have to stop that, you know. Or if you notice yourself literally speaking and griping about things or whining, just take a step back and think, okay, that's not going to lead me anywhere good. How can I look at this differently? Or how can I solve the problem? How can I be a critical thinker, you know? Anyway, I just wanted to share that because I think our behaviors coming from trauma are quite interesting. And it's important that we don't beat ourselves up about them. And just see them for what they are. And, you know, they will eventually lead to something, to whatever little event or maybe a breaking point, however you want to look at it. But I think it's very important to just see that, you know, we're doing these things for a reason, you know, and it's coming from somewhere. And I don't think it means, you know, if you're doing something that maybe most people would think it's self-centered or whatever it is, I think a lot of times once they get to know you, I think that they can say, okay, it makes perfect sense why they're doing this. But I think on the more superficial layer, it can look very self-centered. I think sometimes a lot of things that maybe we do, because we're doing them from a place of fear or wanting to avoid or impulsivity. But again, that's a lot of our symptoms. So I just think it's important to not beat ourselves up when we are doing these things, but behavior is quite interesting. So it just says a lot of, you know, what can it teach us? It can teach us a lot. And, you know, just don't feel guilty about it. Like, don't feel guilty, you know, because we're doing things. When you really look at the symptoms, like, just don't feel bad about it. Just sort of learn from it and how you can move forward maybe a little bit differently, or, you know, handle it differently that's healthier for you. Because, again, I know I can be oblivious to when things are toxic, so... This is the Complex PTSD Guy signing off.